Today we are in 1 Samuel chapter 24. And we begin our study in verse 13, going through chapter 25, verse 21. And Lord, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, King Saul, wicked King Saul, has been hunting David down like an animal for a long, long time. And they met each other last time out in the wilderness. And David said to Saul in verse 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 24, "May the Lord judge between you and me. And may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me. But my hand will not touch you." As the old saying goes, from evil doers come evil deeds. So my hand will not touch you. This is how you can tell if a person is bad. They do bad things. I like how God is just very clear and right to the point. You can tell if a person is bad, they do bad things. Bad people do not need to be understood. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. Oh, we need to understand them. No, we don't. Bad people do not need to be understood. They need to be confronted with their bad. They need to be told that they are bad because it is their fault and it is of their own free will. And they need to be told that they must repent. And they cannot be allowed to make up excuses or to blame someone else. Verse 14, "Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom are you pursuing? A dead dog? A flea?" You know, David has been running from Saul out in the wilderness for a long, long time. This is the king of Israel chasing him. And David looks at himself here and thinks, "I'm just not that big of a deal. Why is Saul paying so much attention to me? I'm not that big of a deal." Have you ever had anyone slander you or say things about you behind your back, and they just continue on and on and on, and you maybe wonder, don't you have a life? Why is it that you are so consumed with trashing me? I'm not that big of a deal. Well, that's how David is feeling. 15, "May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand." God is the righteous judge, and David will accept justice from God, even if it goes against him. He says, "May God decide which one of us is right and judge the one who is guilty." A person with a godly character does not make up excuses, but is willing to accept what they've got coming, whether it is good or bad. And David is saying that right here. Verse 16, "When David finished saying this, Saul asked, 'Is that your voice, David, my son?' And he wept aloud." Now, there's a sliver of decency in Saul. A sliver of decency in Saul, which wanted things to be right between him and David. But there was so much impenitent, immoral, spiritual trash in that man that any remnant of decency soon disappeared. 17. Saul says to David, "You are more righteous than I. You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly." A humble, self-abasing statement from Saul. You say, man, he has changed. Everything is different now. David should go back with Saul now. And I would say, not so fast. Even non-repenting sinners like Saul say something true and decent every now and then. We should be cautious when entering into a relationship with someone who has a track record of evil. Verse 18, "You have just now told me of the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. David had a chance to get Saul, but he did not do it. God wants us to be kind. And one of the ways we can be kind on a personal level is to not get revenge when we have an opportunity to get revenge. Verse 19. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. So even Saul is forced to recognize that there's something special about David. I mean, who else but a godly man would be so nice to someone who had been so mean to him? Personal forbearance is a very Christ-like quality. It's a powerful testimony that glorifies Jesus Christ in the life of a Christian. Verse 20, I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. That's Saul speaking there. Saul knew the will of God concerning David. He knew that he was going to be knocked off the throne and David would be the next king. And he knew that he could not defeat the word of God. But because of his hard heart, he will still try. No, not right here, but in the near future. Saul is like the devil. The devil knows his time is short. The devil knows he's going to lose, but he still tries to win. Chapter 25. Now Samuel died. Remember, Samuel's a great prophet in Israel. Great man of God. He died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him. And they buried him at his home in Ramah. Samuel was 98 years old when he died. But his spiritual presence in Israel was a strong force. It was a restrainer of evil. Just him being there. Because good people do restrain evil. And that influence is gone now. That Samuel is dead. And that could be why the Bible says what it says in the last part of verse 1. Then David moved down into the desert of Maon. He didn't return to Israel after Samuel was dead. Because that restraining influence was gone. Look at verse 2. A certain man in Maon, who had property there at Carmel, was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. Sheep shearing time was a wonderful time of celebration for shepherds. What harvest is to this farmer, sheep shearing is to shepherds. It was payday. And it was a party atmosphere. Verse 3. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman. Stop right there. Abigail, married to this owner of all these flocks. Abigail was a beautiful and intelligent woman. She was a godly woman is what she was. We'll see that in a little while. Last part of verse 3. But her husband, a Calebite, was surly and mean in his dealings. Nabal, her husband, was evil and harsh. He was a stubborn man. He was vulgar. No one liked him. People don't like being around those who are rude, evil, and vulgar. No one would have even talked to this Nabal guy if he had not been wealthy. And so their marriage was a real mismatch, is what it was. Verse 4. While David was in the desert, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in thy name, or in my name, sorry. David sends 10 of his men to deliver a personal message to Nabal. It is payday. It is sheep shearing day. That means it's payday. And David wants his wages and the wages that his men have earned. And Nabal should have been expecting this visit, and he should have had a check written out to David and his men, because he and his men had guarded Nabal's flocks, and now it is right for them to be paid. So, David sends a message, through his men to Nabal regarding this. And he begins in verse 6. Say to him, long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. David begins his message to Nabal by wishing him the very best. And as we have seen, Nabal is a terrible man, evil, rude. But the Bible says that we should not be quarrelsome, and that as much as it depends on us, we are to be at peace with all people. So, he's being gracious to Nabal. And he says in his letter, now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them, and the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. We did a good job guarding those sheep of yours, Nabal. You know, David and his 600 men could have caused big problems for Nabal and his flocks. You remember, those men of David's were all outcasts of society. They were all rebels. Now you take 600 men who are tough and hungry and poor, it can cause a lot of trouble for easy targets if they are not God-fearing. And David and his men had some type of agreement, though, to protect Nabal's flocks, and they did it, and they did it well. And now it's time to be paid. Verse 8. He continues in this letter to Nabal, ask your own servants, and they will tell you. Therefore be favorable toward my young men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them. David is being very meek here. He's not demanding X amount of money. He just wants a fair wage for his men who have done a good job. Verse 9. When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. David's men spoke in David's name. So they spoke the words that David gave them. They did not leave anything out. They did not add anything to them. And as David's representatives, that's the way it should be. And when it comes to representing Christ, we Christians should not go beyond what is written in the Word of God. In other words, we should not try to add truth to the truth that God has given us in His Word. It is enough if we represent God by speaking the truth that is found in His Word. Otherwise, we might find ourselves misrepresenting God. And we don't want to do that. That would not be good. 10. Nabal answered David's servants, who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. What an insult. Because David is not hanging around the palace by King Saul waiting to be murdered, because David is not hanging around the palace waiting to become Saul's pincushion as Saul fires javelins at him, Nabal accuses David of being a runaway slave. And of course he knows that that's not true. It was just an excuse not to pay David for his work. That's all it is. Some people slander others so that they can feel justified in not doing the right thing themselves. Some people speak bad things about others. And sometimes it's in a very subtle way. But it's all a part of making themselves feel better about not doing the right things themselves. Some people say bad things about others so that they can feel justified in being mean to them or unfair to them. And you will see the end of people like that when you see the end of Nabal. Verse 11. He says, why should I take my bread and water, the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers, and give it to men coming from who knows where? Well, Nabal doesn't need to take food out of the mouth of his servants in order to pay David. He has plenty of meat. Nabal is just using his servants as an excuse not to pay David. That's all this is. Sometimes people make up excuses for not doing the right thing. You know, they say, I can't. Oh, I can't do that. Reality is, they won't. They just don't want to. 12. David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word. I like how they handled this. This thing is between David and Nabal. And that's why David's men did not take matters into their own hands. They did not respond to Nabal. Instead, they just turned around. They took the problem back to David. And they gave it to him. And that's very wise. Because everyone has their own area of authority. And it is wise to stay in our own area and not meddle in that which is not our business. 13. David said to his men, "Put on your swords." So they put on their swords, and David put on his. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. David has reached the breaking point. He has been running like a wild animal away from Saul for a long time. He's not at home where he wants to be. He's not with his family where he wants to be. He doesn't have food or shelter like he wants to have. And now he and his men are being cheated out of much needed wages. Not only that, he has been insulted. That's why David says, "Get on your sword, men. Strap it on. Get your sword, strap it on." David is going Nabal hunting. 14. One of the servants told Nabal's wife, Abigail, "David sent messengers from the desert to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at him." I don't know who this young man was, evidently a member of Nabal's household, maybe a servant or something, but he found out about David's plan to attack, and he went and he told Abigail, Nabal's wife, all about it. Nabal's big, rude mouth was flapping again. And now everyone is in trouble because of it. We're all in danger because of it. Verse 15. "Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us. And the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing." In other words, David and his men did a great job protecting our sheep. David had been there for Nabal when Nabal needed him. However, now that Nabal doesn't need David anymore, he treats David like dirt, even insults him. That's the way a lot of people are with God, you know that? Oh, in a bind, when they really feel they need God, they cry out to God for help. "Oh, I'll do this for you, God. I will do that for you." But then they quickly forget about him when things calm down and all is well. Never a thank you, God. Never any real repentance. Never any commitment to the Lord. But boy, when you need him, you know, then you're just as nice as can be. That's what Nabal was with David. 16. "Night and day, they were a wall around us all the time. We were herding our sheep near them." So, walls are needed in this sinful planet. Not just for privacy, but because they restrain sinners. And David and his men were walls for Nabal. They stood guard. They protected. They deterred evil on behalf of Nabal. 17. "Now think it over and see what you can do. Because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him." This young man says, "Abigail, the ball is in your court. You better think fast. You better come up with something good. Trouble is about to hit hard because of what Nabal did. And Abigail needs to come up with an answer. And here you have a situation which God never intended to be, ever. A wife having to bail her household out of trouble because the husband is sinful." 18. "Abigail lost no time. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys." It would not do any good for Abigail to talk to her husband about this thing, because he would just get angry. That wouldn't do any good at all. So she's going to have to take matters into her own hands in order to avoid this disaster. And sometimes it is up to us. and cannot always look to someone else to do what needs to be done. 19. Then she told her servants, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Abigail is doing what her husband would not want her to do. Too bad, she's going to do it anyway. She has to do it. And it's the right thing to do. The last thing any woman of God needs to do is pacify an ungodly husband at the expense of doing what is right in God's eyes. Verse 20. As she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there were David and his men descending toward her, and she met them. Now, Abigail did what she could do. She put her gifts together, and then she went looking for David. And God took care of that problem. He brought David and Abigail together. Abigail could get her gifts ready, so she did that. But she couldn't do anything about meeting David in time. All she could do is trust God with that one. And God came through. And the lesson for us is this. We should do what we can do and trust God with what we can't do. If it is His will, He will take care of it. It will come to pass. 21. David had just said, "It's been useless, all my watching over this fellow's property in the desert, so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good." In good faith, David did the right thing. David and his men did the right thing in good faith. But instead of being rewarded or even thanked, they have been insulted. And David is saying, what's the use? And sometimes God's people give themselves for others and they're not appreciated. And sometimes they give themselves for others to do wonderful things and they're not only not appreciated, they're repaid evil for good. And it may seem like a waste in those times. And maybe it is a waste in this life. But God will reward us in eternity. You can bet. He keeps track of every good thing that we do. And He rewards us. And especially He appreciates those things that we do in this life that we are not rewarded for in this life. The Bible says He will certainly not lose your reward. Well, we'll pick up our study right here next time. Until then, so long, everyone.